What's cooking, Karma Nation? Back here with our DFS Karma PGA Good Karma podcast, where we spend a little bit more time breaking down as much information as possible for this this PGA event, the Genesis Open, that kicks off Thursday morning. I just had it pulled up, but I lost it. What is the lock time for lineups for this event?
I think the last time I saw it was like 5 a.m. on 5 a.m. on DraftKings, but they might change that because that doesn't seem right. But
yeah, I had it for a second.
Oh, they updated. It's 9:40.
Yeah, so that's 9:40 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9:40 a.m. And of course, I mean, it's played in Pacific because it's over there in Los Angeles. But this is we put our main DFS PGA players together from DFS Karma and just go through everything possible. So we have Anthony here, top dog at DFS Karma, and we also have Josh, one of the newcomers this season. Now, as you see, if you're watching this on YouTube, we have a little stork with a little baby in its mouth. I put that together for Scott, so I got a little
nice.
Baby fly in there because Scott is celebrating and taking care of the brand new baby that it was this morning or last night, something within the last 24 hours. So congratulations to Scott on that. He's going to be sitting out for this one, of course, due to the situation at hand. If you want to, throw him a shout out on Twitter. Throw him a big congrats there if you want to, at Scotty Mac, ScottiMac 11. Congrats. Yep, congrats, Scotty.
Yes, congrats.
I'm gonna watch.
Do you have a name yet?
I'm not aware of a name, but I'm hoping it's not Travis because I mean that name sucks.
It's gonna be like something to do with Justin Thomas.
Yeah, definitely. There's gonna be some kind of correlation here, some kind of winning bet, you know, to some kind of name of some sort, I feel like.
I don't know if you guys check the YouTube comments on our videos that we have, but there's this one guy, I feel like the past 3 weeks comments, he goes, I like your information, but I just hate the name Travis. that's like on every single like PGA pod and everything else. It's like, yeah, whatever.
That's funny.
It's fine. But if this is your first time checking us out here for the Good Karma PGA podcast, something new we're doing this season for the PGA season. We have four categories here. First one is tiers. That's where we break down the more cash friendly, the best point per dollar for the Genesis Open here. Next one, we're going to pivots. We're going to talk about the main chalk that's going to be happening in this tournament and the best pivots off them, more of GPP plays. Scott is our PGA betting guy. Since he's sitting out, we're not going to be touching too much on that one here. And of course, the last section, winner chicken dinner, where we simply try to pick the winner of the Genesis Open. They have to be under $9,000 in salary. And no one has hit yet, but we've all gotten pretty close. So that's going to be the last part there. But starting it off here, let's just do a quick recap of last week at the... Let's see. Yeah, so...
Pebble Beach.
Yeah, well, I was trying to pull up my how I did last week. So last week for me, I don't know. I had 1 out of 20. I do the 20 max if you guys weren't aware, and I had 1 out of 20. That actually was 6 for 6, but it was like the worst 6 for 6 possible. I don't know. How did you guys do with your Pebble Beach lineups?
I had a pretty good week. So cash was good. I usually run 1 or 2 cash lineups, but I started just making these 1v1 pivots, and I ended up with like 5 or 6 different cash lines, which is that was just me being more lazy than anything and not narrowing it down. And I don't usually run that many, but they were all 1v1s of each other, and but they all had Streelman and Reavy. So even though I had, I think, Reed on most of them, I ended up doing well on cash because of those two guys, because Reed was pretty high owned. And I ended up, I don't know, I knew, and I wrote about this in my GPP article, I knew that Bubba was the better play, but I still ended up, I had a lot of Bubba, which helped save the week, but I had a decent amount of Reed, and I don't know, I'm never again with that guy. As you guys know, we went over this, like, I didn't want a whole year not playing him. I'm not playing him. I'm done.
Who's that?
Patrick Reed.
Oh, okay. Yep.
6,600, yeah. I'm not playing him. Never again. He's a loser.
Yeah. Other than I hear you, man. He burned me last year too, and I mean, to kind of go into my week, I had a pretty good week. I think I texted you, Josh. I think a couple days actually before. I personally thought there was two avenues to cashing this week. I actually did like a 15-minute lineup review breakdown of the same cash lineup that I play each week on Mondays, but you know, I'm starting to play a small hedge lineup. You kind of got me out of that for a little bit, but I like accidentally entered in. I mean, Travis, we're talking about kind of trust the process too, but I accidentally kind of entered in that second hedge, almost the equivalent of my main lineup. So by the time like lineup lock came around, I knew what had happened. I was just like, I'm not going back and like deleting a bunch of heads ups and, you know, double ups and all that stuff. But it ended up working out. They both cashed. So it does go to show you that you can take two routes, because I took a completely different route. You know, I went with the DJ, our boy Patrick Reed route, which was kind of common. And then I took like more of like a value lineup. So, you know, they both made it, which was great. Actually, I was kind of on all the right guys in GPPs. I had another good week. I was like really close in some GPPs. So my second most profitable week probably of the season for sure. And, you know, I'm looking forward to this week. I think this week's going to be, I hate saying this, I think we both kind of said it before the pod, this to me seems like a week that stands out, where like I feel like I know the guys I want to play. But like you said, Josh, that can be scary, because then that means a lot of other people are going to be on those same guys. And I am talking mostly cash game. We'll get to like pivots and all that stuff later. So that's kind of how my week went, I guess, last week.
Yeah, I mean, transitioning into this week, like I am really excited about this tournament, both to watch and to play. Some of like my favorite golfers to roster are here. I'm so happy to be done with these three course rotations, no shot tracker, no, you know, amateurs. So like, this is a great course. I love, like, I don't know, I just love the way that 18th hole with the big clubhouse on the top looks. There's a finishing hole, and it's a really pretty course. It's a tough course for these guys, and so I'm really excited about this week. But as you said, as we've discussed, like, there are guys I absolutely love, and I know what my normal, and I'm seeing that other ownership is trending that way. So like, I'm kind of in this difficult position, because am I going to pivot away from the guys I love because everyone else loves them, or do I just need to figure out a way to have unique lineups with those guys? So,
yeah.
So I was going to mention,
hey, real quick, we didn't touch about it, Travis. Real quick, how the heck did Harry Potter just hang on?
Yeah,
Sunday,
like, I was going to say, like, I mean, the person that nobody really talked about, of course, takes down the whole thing.
You know, he's won a lot in the Hooters Tour and everything, but, I mean, Josh, just real quick, just your 2 cents on that. What can we take away? Obviously, I mean, nothing really happened on Sunday. It was a really awkward Sunday to watch golf. It's just, it was kind of boring, I guess. I mean, there's not really much to say about.
I don't know. I think it's probably more people are, the bigger takeaway or the biggest thing that needs to be thought about is, you know, is DJ have some closing issue? I don't think there is. I have no hesitation. I think, I don't know, he's probably going to come out and smash this week, because he's had that when he, you know, he's had times when he's kind of fallen apart, not fallen apart. He didn't fall apart. He came in second, but, you know, didn't do what we expected on Sunday, and he comes out and smashes the next week's off. I don't know. What do I take about Ted Potter? I don't know if you follow any of the back and forth, but my buddy Baroff, you know, he posted something about him being such a prolific golfer.
I saw that.
I gave him crap, and that was before he won. And then he comes out and he just holds on to the win, which I did not think possible. So I don't know. I guess there was some other pros, like Bowditch chimed in saying, you know, it's winning on any tour is difficult, so he should be given credit for having a number of Hooters win. I don't have really much to add to that, but I'm not taking away anything from Ted Potter. He's not on my radar this week going forward. It's you know what? That's what's great about watching the PGA Tour, that anyone can have. These are all elite. These are all top tier talent, even though they're not all DJs. They're all the top 200 golfers in the world, and any of them can have a really good 4-day stretch.
Now, I know, Josh, you just talked about it slightly when you're during the transition there, but do you have anything more in terms of course breakdown for the Riviera here?
Outside LA, it's tree lined, par 71. There's some 7,300 yards. There's some pretty long par fours and par fives. So distance definitely helps. I was reading some quotes from some golfers and saying that, you know, you need some distance to be able to compete on those longer holes. Even though looking at statistics, I didn't really see driving distance being one of the most statistically significant things to focus on. And it's POA greens, which that's important that's something to consider if you're making first round leader bets, is because, you know, POA gets a little bumpy in the afternoon. So focusing as in the first wave for your first round leader bets. So that's what I've got for the course.
All right. So the first part, the first category here we focus on for the Good Karma PGA podcast is the tiers. We have three main tiers we're going to be discussing here. The first tier is 9,000 and up. I think we have about 9 golfers there in that range. Now, let's see. Of course, DJ's by far the favorite, statistically speaking. I don't know if anybody wants to talk about DJ at all, or Josh. I was reading the wrong name there. Josh, who do you have for your 9,000 up category to start things off?
Yeah, I mean, DJ is the obvious choice here. I mean, he's got the best course history. He's in great form. He's like built for this course, long and straight. So I expect him to win. And I know he's said that he wants to win 8 times this year. I'm not putting any stock into the fact that he couldn't win or couldn't close it out last week. I know a lot of people play him in cash, and this might be one of the kind of times where I do 2 lineups, a DJ lineup and a non-DJ lineup. The other person who I would consider in cash would be Tommy Fleetwood. I'm kind of wondering what his ownership is going to be. I'm actually considering that more for GPPs. But you won't see any course history, but I just think, you know, he's an elite golfer. He's better than Phil at this point. And, you know, at this point in time, obviously Phil is a Hall of Famer, but he's better than Phil. He's probably better than Paul Casey right now. He's definitely better, much better than Daniel Berger, in my opinion. So I think he's a little too cheap. Although given the fact that he doesn't have any, of course, history that might scare people off, and he does have some good results on POA, so I'm not too concerned about that. So he would probably be, if you need the savings. I mean, the two I'm considering in cash, it would be either get up to DJ or go down to Fleetwood.
And then Anthony, who's your favorite for that range as well?
Yeah, so I tend to agree with most everything you said there, and I'll get into that in a minute. Something to kind of correlate. I did find my handy dandy notebook that I thought I lost from last couple years of notes. So like, I finally have like some notes from the last couple years, and some takeaways I had from the last few years here were just, this course is going to essentially, you know, obviously reward the long bombers, and a good iron play is just going to have that extra edge as well. We're looking at 7 par fours from 450 to 500. So we're really kind of looking into some of those corollary stats for this tournament. We're going to start with, you know, some of the quote unquote chalk / value plays that we like, and we'll come to the pivots later on in the podcast. So strong agreement with you as far as Dustin Johnson. I mean, in full disclosure, anyone listening to this podcast, I am trying to make it a little bit more clear is the route I want to go. And I know it's Tuesday, but at least for me, in Josh and I have similar wavelengths as far as the type of players we are. I think for cash games, I definitely am on the bandwagon of, I generally want to pay down as much as possible, but you know, every slate is different, and DraftKings does offer some, you know, different avenues at times. And I just think we'll get to it later that there is enough value in the 7K range. So I think as of now, I'm probably going to anchor my main cash lineup around Dustin Johnson. I'm not going to pass up this opportunity, this course history, the way he's playing, you know, the straight up odds relative to Vegas and any other person up top. But Fleetwood, yeah, he's attractive. Yeah, he's popular. He's going to be a great play this week. But for me, it's the same as last week when I think, Josh, you had somebody a couple hundred bucks cheaper than Phil. I don't know who it was. I mean, it still was a good play. It might have been Casey. But I decided to pay up for Phil the extra few hundred, and that's the other person that I would consider is Phil Mickelson at 9,900. Yeah. I'm not getting off the bandwagon. I mean, amazing course history, two wins. I mean, he's just trending. He's just in top five in actually several categories in his last 20 rounds. And he looks like he's pretty confident. And I don't know if you guys actually got to watch most of the weekend, but Phil was in my main, you know, my other main cash lineup. So I was kind of watching him a little bit more closely, and he was playing even better than how he finished. I mean, he missed several. I mean, this is the beauty of like some of the DFS players, I think, that take their game to the next level. I mean, we all get busy and we can't always watch everything, but at least the last few weeks I've had some extra time to watch. And I don't know if you guys saw, but there was a ton of putts that just lipped out. I mean, he was close. So I think he's in a good spot this week. He's going to be on my main, at least GPP, if not like my hedge cash lineup, if I go that route. So for me, it's Phil and DJ up top.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I like to pay down, but given the way the pricing is, it's pretty soft. I don't think there's any glaring omissions, glaring discrepancies in pricing like that happened in other weeks that kind of focus all of the ownership on one guy. But I like so many cheap guys, like in the 7,000, as much as the guys in the 8. So I don't feel like if I pay up to DJ, I don't feel like I'm sacrificing a quality roster like in other weeks when the pricing isn't as soft and you're actually sacrificing a quality roster by going up. So for that reason, I might be going up to DJ as well.
I think for me personally, Fleetwood is somebody that's popping up a lot. However, when I write my PGA punts and everything else, I always start with course history, and having zero course history, I'm kind of slightly standoffish about it for GPPs. But something I was reading in some other articles I found online, I don't know if anybody else caught this, but it's not in South Africa, it's not referred to POA and the greens, but it's the greens are pretty much identical is what I'm seeing. And so there looks to be, slightly with Vegas and numbers as well, ownership, a very minor advantage solely on being South African, and that's where Grace comes into play at 9,000. He doesn't really have a course history. He played here last year. That's about it. Numbers-wise, recent form on 71 pars and what else? So the last 24 rounds played and Poa greens and whatnot. He doesn't have great numbers. But has anybody else caught any of the South African that I've been picking up in these articles and all the other stuff I'm looking online?
I mean, I really like Grace, too. I mean, he was one of the best. He's been crushing GIR recently. And I really like him. I think just, again, based on how roster construction is going to go, I'm going to end up with him a lot more in GPPs than I will in cash. So,
gotcha.
But I like to play a lot.
Another fun fact I found real quick here is, I don't know if you guys had this on your stuff, but in the past 12 years of this tournament, 11 of the past 12 winners have played here at least five times before winning. So 11 of the past 12 years, they have played here at least five times. So there's only one person out of the last 12 years who played here less than five times and actually won. So that's why this year, this season anyway, for this tournament, I'm looking at the course history a lot, which is why I'm kind of standoffish about Fleetwood. Anthony, you're
The course does require a lot of strategy. It's not, as I said in the article, it's not the traditional bomb and gouge course where you just let it loose. You do some shot shaping, and you need to really figure out the best way to attack the course, which might go to what you're saying there with why course history could matter more.
Yeah, Anthony, you were about to say something before I start talking about the 11 out of 12.
No, just, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of, I think I've said this in the past, at least for me, gun to head, I tend to avoid guys like Grace more often than not. And when they burn me, but it's few and far in between, just because I personally don't think he scores enough DraftKings points, you know, over the course of time. I mean, he's a pretty damn good player. He's consistent. And yeah, he's hot right now. I mean, he's ranked 18th in at least my model. But you know, like Josh said, he's just a green and regulation machine right now. And he's just striking the ball down the middle of the fairway. He's ranked both number one in those stats. And he's been good around the green too. So I think it's a good play, but for me, it's just a play that I tend to make less often than not.
All right. I have a special place in my heart for Grace.
He won you some money, huh?
What?
He won you some money, huh?
We were both sweating out the British Open.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Remember, he shot the lowest ever round in a major, yeah. And he was on that. He was on
I do remember that. Friends. Like I said, he's the right player in the right situations, but yeah. he's getting some talk this week. I mean, Grace is going to be a
little bit. I don't think he will be very high owned in cash.
No, he won't be that high owned in cash, but he's going to be high owned in tournament. I mean, 10-15% probably, but
I'll take the under.
Yeah.
I mean, you're taking 10-15%. I don't know if you want to set the line at 12.5, I would take the under. But
yeah, he probably would be under. I mean, I don't know.
I think not so much I think as we were talking before we went on air here, that everyone is just going to be crushing that 7,000 range.
Yeah.
So that's just going to leave everyone a little bit lower owned, but you know. So
let's get into that range then real quick.
Yeah. So next up we have 88 to 77 for the next one. So 8,800 to 77 as the bottom one.
Yeah. So I can start it off because Josh led with the other one. So yeah, I mean, here's what I'm 100% going to do with one of my main GPP teams. I had success doing it the last few weeks. I'm just going to stack a team in this range, and I'm probably going to look to see if there's any favorable win times as well to get that extra edge. But I'm going to kind of look for guys from, you know, maybe I do go up to the 9,500 with Fleetwood and down to around the Chez Reavie range right before that $7,000 concentration with all those guys. So, I mean, I literally will have a lineup just kind of stacking everyone in full disclosure. Value wise, if we're going down to 8,000, how do you not get away from Chez? I mean, he's gonna fall off at some point, right? I mean, that's the only issue, and it's like, can you get off the train before it hits the station? I don't know the analogy you want to use with it, but I mean, I'm staying on Chez. I mean, he's won me some money, man, and he's won you some money. I know that. He's a cash play. He's going to be highly owned. He's the value play in this range for me. And I am not going to shy away from, you know, my stat god, Tony Finau. I'm going right back to the well there. I think with the missed cut, I believe that's the last time he was out, correct? And he had a missed cut. Just double checking. Yeah, he's missed cut here twice. And then at the Phoenix Open. Okay, so we might get him a little bit lower owned than what we were getting him. So he's another player I'm definitely kind of eyeing up in this range. And I think the X-Man would be a nice, I guess we'll get to that later. But I think Tony Finau for me is in cash gameplay. That doesn't mean I'm going to play him because, like Josh said, I think he might be skipping this range for our main cash type lineup. But I really do like Tony Finau for this course, even though he's got bad history. I just think he's a little bit of a different player, and he's still popping in my models as well. What do you think about this range, Josh?
So I agree with you on Reavie. I'm concerned because I've made the money on him already, and I don't want to be left holding the bag. And so I kind of, I don't know. I'm definitely, I think, I mean, he'll be in a cash lineup for sure. Most likely my main cash lineup, because how can you, I mean, he's, as I said, I think he's one of the hottest, he's like the hottest golfer on tour right now. And yes, he doesn't have course history, but he's never played this well in his life. So for a long stretch. But another guy who I think is a pretty safe play is Steele. And he's just very consistent. He's long and straight. He's good at the long par fours. He's got great course history. And other than his kind of poor performance at the Tournament of Champions, He's had three really great weeks, three made cuts, three top 30s, and including a third at Phoenix. And I think those two guys will gather up the majority of the ownership right in this little range. So I see the merit in Finau. You finally getting him lower owned. As you guys know, as I make fun of you guys, I'm not a Finau guy. But, if I'm going to play Finau, it's when he's not 40% owned. So I imagine this will be a week that I'll grab some.
For me, in that same range, which is the 88 to 77, once again, going to the bare minimum on this one, range-wise, Thomas Peters at 7,700 doesn't have too much course history or pretty much any at all. The only recent course history is last year. We actually finished tied for second. But stats-wise on, just like I said before, past 24 rounds, par 71s, POA greens, besides Steele and Bubba, who we already mentioned in Josh's Cash Game article, Peters is the only one pops up that has pretty high numbers and pretty much total strokes gained there, putting and approach and whatnot. I don't know if you guys had him popping up at all, but he's on my list.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be shocked this week.
Yeah, I feel like I got kind of duped here. I didn't realize it was 77.
Yeah, either did I.
Yeah, that's my guy. Like, I have a man crush on Thomas Peters.
Yeah, he's gonna be uber shocked this week.
Yeah, so I thought. Well, as soon as I heard him say it, I was like, "Whoa, how did Travis get the jump on me and that guy?"
It's all right. We'll let Travis take the Belgium. I mean, he's a nice pick here. I Travis, in full disclosure, I love it. I mean, obviously you heard it from Josh too. I think he's unfortunately he probably is gonna be uber chalk, but I think he's a great play this week.
Yeah. No, what do you – I mean, can we just spend a little more time on it? Because there's so many good plays here. I mean
–
Yeah.
Well,
you want to go double down?
Well, I don't know. So we're – what? Are we going to 77 too or
– Well, if you want to, we can do – we can stick at the – we could just go all the way down to 7,000 if you just want to just touch on one or two more people all the way just in any 7,000 range, just 7,000 to 7,900 if you want.
Let's keep some of the – Let's some of the format that we've got going on.
All right, so the next tier is 76 to 7,000.
Okay, well, before we get down there, I mean, another guy who I really like is Chapel. He's just popping in my models. I think a lot of people, I've seen a lot of Twitter chat on him. He's surprisingly long. People don't think of him as a bomber, but he is. He is a bomber. I mean, I'm even looking at this here. I can't even believe my eyes. His long-term driving distance is longer than Thomas Peters. That looks wrong, but he is long either way. He's got a course history here. It's got a little pattern going of miscut 24th, miscut 23rd, miscut 26th, miscut. And now, I'd sign up for another top 25 from him at that price. Obviously to win a big GPP, you need a little better than that. But, he's playing really well right now. So I would think that the pattern continues with another made cut, but we're going to improve and get inside the – let's get a top 15 in there at least.
Yeah, speaking of the pattern, that's something that if you were going to bring up, I was going to bring up. As silly as it is, with the cut, top 20, top 25, cut, top 25, cut, top 25. It's the even years. He only makes the cut on the even years. It is 2018, so he's going to get a top 25 if you go superstition and patterns and whatnot. But I'm glad that you brought that up because I thought it was pretty funny seeing that myself. Anthony, who do you have? Do you want to do another one here in the same range?
Well, just to highlight Kevin Chapel, he does, for me, come ranked number 2 overall in my model. And I am in complete agreement with everything you just said. Some of the key stats that I'm looking at this week, here are some of the numbers on the boxes he's checking. In strokes gain approach in the last 15 rounds, he comes in 10th. Strokes gain tee to green, he comes in 4th. Driving distance, which Josh was just saying, he comes in 5th. Good drive, so he's just striking it right down the middle, 6th, and in ball striking, he's 2nd. So, he's just the exact stats the main stats that I'm really looking at. Of course, there's a bunch of ancillary ones, but he really is highlighting in the ones that I'm specifically targeting. And if we're sticking in the 7,700 range, I mean, again, Team Karma, all on board, at least with Bubba. I mean, he's – it's funny, Josh, when I read your article, I think you said something in the exact – your sentence was like, he may be cash viable. Is that what your sentence said?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of how I honestly feel about Bubba. Like, he is – like, I know he's cash viable. And, like, I'm going to stick with it right now on the pod. You guys heard it here first. He's cash playable. Like, he just is. You guys are, trust me, I'm heavily considering him. The only reason that I may not is because there's so many good players in the 7,000 range. It's kind of like he might be just odd man out, but it's not like a bad thing, right?
In other words, if there weren't other value here, we'd be on him. But like,
yeah.
If we can agree that there's some risk there, you know, yeah. Why take the risk?
Yeah.
So, and also, I'd rather use, you know, I use this term blocker. I mean, it's not my term. Everyone uses this term. But, you know, if I think that, like, Steele or if Peters is going to be 40% owned and Watson's going to be 10% owned and each has an equal chance of winning or missing the cut, I'd rather be with the crowd, because when Peters wins and 40% have him and Bubba misses the cut and 10% have him, I'm done. You know what I mean? I'd much rather, knowing that the ownerships are going to be that much, give me all the Bubba and GPPs. You know what I mean? So, because I don't care about ownership and cash. So, I mean.
So a couple things just to solidify your guys' thoughts on Bubba. This is kind of where I came full circle, where I pretty much did make my decision, even though I'm telling any of the listeners out there that, you know, maybe they are a little bit higher on Bubba than even I am. And this, you know, I'm telling you, he is cash playable, but his numbers, even though he's playing well, if you really look into it, there's, I think, a little bit of kind of false, you know, hope in regards to his predictive outcome, I think, because he is struggling a lot, like, with his irons. I mean, he lost 3.5 strokes last week from 200 out, and he lost 5.5, and this is the last six rounds now, from 150 to 75 in that proximity range. And even though he's got really good history here, you know, he's going to need to be nailing those long iron shots. So when I see at least some kind of red flag, that's kind of, you know, what I'm looking for is who not to play in cash games. And again, I think he's a great play this week. But again, it was something that stuck out. It's very small. I did kind of look through the cookie crumbs because I was really on the fence with him. So again, he could blow up. I mean,
I guess I'm in the same point. I mean, I'm just going to get my exposure in GPPs. There's too much other safety there that I don't need to. I don't want to add in that risk in cash game. Now, I don't know if you followed this on Twitter, and I haven't really looked into it, so I don't know if this is real news or fake news, but I know it's real news that he's playing in the All-Star game, celebrity basketball game on Friday night. And he said, and I don't know if this is probably a joke. I hope it was a joke. But the, you know, if he couldn't get a you know, a favorable tee time, that he just wouldn't play.
Who is this, Bubba?
Yeah.
No way. He's playing in the celebrity All-Star game.
Yeah, he's really into it, because I guess
I'm honestly probably fading him then.
No, but I'm thinking, even if the thing was a joke, like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I don't know. Do I really want a Bubba Watson that's like playing in a basketball game in LA on Friday night?
Those games are actually kind of intense.
So, I don't know. But again, I don't want to look into mind state, but.
Right.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on to that last tier there, the 7,600 to 7,000. I'll go ahead and start this one off here. So, last week I had him in a lineup, and I, after Adam Scott bombed horrendously, I swore I would never ever play Adam Scott ever again. But since 2013, in the 3 years that he actually has played in this event, he has made the cut. And not only that, his worst finish is 11th place. So he is 3-for-3, 11th place is the worst, and that 2016 finish, he came in second place. Now, on top of the course history, also numbers wise, he's pretty high up. Right now, total strokes gained on the par 71 with the Poa greens and the last 24 rounds, he actually is second place overall in total strokes and also tee to green. So even though I hate him, every time I play him, I probably will still play him just based on the numbers. What do you guys think on Scott? Is he somebody popping up for you?
We're kind of, you just, so we're clear, I want to clarify for myself and for the listener here, are you we're not, you want kind of like skip to risky play without talking about safe play, right?
Well, it's risky. It's risky in the sense where he sucks more often than he plays good, but numbers wise I would consider him a safe play based on the numbers that I'm looking at. So yes, he sucks, yes, it's more of a risk, but for this week I feel like he's more of a safer play.
Travis, just keep to your punt plays in the fantasy draft.
Listen, last time you said that, Aaron Baddeley made the cut. So
I know. I just watched. Scott Brown's gonna have. He's gonna come in fifth place now. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not. He's not a safe play. And I don't care if he wins. If he wins, you still wouldn't be able to come to me and say I told you he was a safe play. I mean, I get the merits of having some of him in GPPs. I think he'll be like 2-3% owned. And anytime you can get a former number one, a former winner at this event at 7,400 at 3% owned, yeah, double a trip, you know, double the field, go 6-8%. But I think putting him in cash, you know, anyone can make the cut. Can he make the cut? Certainly. Could he win this? I guess so. It would be a kind of surprise given his form. But it's just, in my opinion, it's a very unnecessary risk to take him in cash.
Fair enough. I mean, I had about 10 to 12% on, so a little bit higher than that. But
projected, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll be way lower.
Yeah. Less than three.
Who do you have for 76 to 7,000?
I can start off in this range. So let me go, Josh. Let me do you a favor. I'm just going to keep all the easy ones for you. I'm going to go to my homeboy, who I think he's going to be a little popular.
JB?
You know, 10%. No, I do like JB.
That's your homeboy.
He is in my notes, yes. I am going to play music with JB. He's 10 for 11 here, by the way, sidebar, coming off of miscut. I'm going right back to James Hahn. This guy keeps climbing in my like weekly cheat sheet in the rankings for like 4 weeks straight. He's red hot. He's got great course history here. He can poke the ball in just his last 15 rounds. Again, here's some of the key stats that I'm looking at in his ranking. Strokes gained approach, he's number one in the field. Strokes gained tee to green, he's number 10. In DraftKings points, which again, I think in our industry, podcasts, whatever, articles, I think this goes overlooked or underlooked a little bit. And that's just DK points. Birdie, 6th. DK points, 5th. Proximity, 20th. And ball striking, 7th. So I'm all in on James Hahn, and I like him for cash games. That might be a little bit of a contrarian play just because Charles Howell's right there. I think he's going to be a very popular play. And Josh, what are your thoughts? I mean, are you going to go as low as James Hahn? Are you on board with the Hahn play with me?
I love James Hahn this week, but not in cash. Only because I don't need to. There's no, you know, there's – but I think he's a great play. And I just – I don't know. I haven't seen as – I haven't just – for cash, I don't think I've seen as much consistency. You know, like, you know, these rounds – he's got 3 weeks ago he had in two rounds of – he had a 75 and a 74. And even last week he opened up with a round of 74. And, you know, he seems to be having to battle back to make the cut too much. But so for that reason, I don't like him in cash, but I'm going to have a lot of him in GPP. And I agree with all the reasons why you like him, I guess. I just don't – if the pricing were tighter, I think he would be someone I would certainly look at. But it seems to me like I don't have to go there, so I'm not – I don't – so if, since I don't have to, I'm not going to.
I also think because naturally with that gap right there of 7,100 to 7,300, the obvious play is Charles Howell, and you know, unless you would disagree with that, but you know, if you have that extra $200. The only issue I have with Howell, and I again, he's ranked 21st in my model, I get it, West Coast guy, playing well, you know, and he's going to be chalky down there, but I think it's a good fade. I'm not saying it's a I'm not saying it's what I'm really advocating. I will try and probably fit him into my lineup if I can, but as of now, I got a pretty good kind of holder cash lineup early in the week, but he does have three missed cuts here, and out of his last six events here, even the ones that he's made the cut, you're looking at a 66th place finish, 61st, 75th. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe he doesn't see well on this course, like you said earlier. I mean, it really is like a strategic type course. I mean, clearly he struggles here, and I think that's kind of going overlooked.
He came in 15th last year.
Yeah, he had a good year last year. I mean, it's golf, you know.
Yeah, no, I have those concerns with Charles Howell as well. So, I mean, the guy I want to talk about, I know you said you were leaving these layups for me, but Cantlay.
Yeah.
So, he has been he's got a huge price reduction. What have we been paying for him this year? We paid an average, I calculated this out, in his three events so far this year, his average price has been $9,000. And now he's $7,600. Keep in mind that he hasn't missed a cut yet. He's playing, he's not playing top of the world talent at the moment, but I don't necessarily think that he's done anything to deserve such a drastic price reduction. And then people are going to say, well, he doesn't have any course history, but he did play in the 2012 National Championship here, and he came in fourth, I believe. I know he did well. I believe it was fourth, but he's shown that he can compete at this course. And I just think there's two. I think that's probably one of the bigger missed prices on the site this week, even though I think the pricing was generally soft, but it was soft but consistent. But I think Cantlay is really underpriced.
All right, so that pretty much wraps up the value play there, the points per dollar tiers. Moving on to the pivots here, this is not necessarily tier-based, salary-based. We just kind of look at the no-brainer chalks and just go for the GPP pivots off of them. So off the top of my head, I feel like the most name that I've heard and saw seen and everything I've been looking at the past 24, 48 hours has been Fleetwood. So, I mean, Dustin Johnson, of course, might be the most heavily owned, but Fleetwood. Pivot-wise, I guess that's where you guys were talking about. Grace is more of a GPP play because he'll be less owned in the 9,000 range. I mean, there's a good chunk of difference there, 500 salary there. But would you agree that you see Grace as a pivot off of Fleetwood, or would you go with someone else? For GPP, of course.
So, you know, well, I usually find pivots and like to try to find pivots, but from this week, I'm having trouble finding pivots because I feel like ownership is going to be flatter than it has been in other weeks. I don't know what you guys think about that, but other weeks, there have been guys who were projecting for 30, 40% ownership, and so it's pretty easy to find and identify a pivot. But I feel like the pivot this week is more like a roster construction as a whole. I know, Anthony, we were talking about this, that feels like everyone is going to be picking a top stud and then putting in a ton of these guys in the high sevens. So feels like I'm not finding as many pivots as I'm finding just contrarian roster construction, which is just a bunch of guys in the nines or a bunch of guys in the eights. Because I think that in itself is going to be unique rather than finding a low-owned guy. But to answer your question, that was kind of a tangent, Travis, but to answer your question, yeah, I would think that that Grace is going to be lower-owned than likely, I would think, Berger and Fleetwood and Tiger. I mean, we didn't even talk about Tiger. Tiger's going to get ownership. He was higher-owned than we expected last time we saw him. And he played fine. So I think Grace, and that actually leads to my favorite pivot, which is Norin, who Norton is one of my favorite plays this week. He's popping in my models. I think, you know, the two times we've seen him now in the United States playing, he came in second, and he came and followed it up with a 21st. Now he's had a week off. And I think he can compete. You know, he's not the longest, but he's pretty straight, and he plays the long par fours well. So I see, feel like he is going to be single-digit ownership, in, you know, with more people being on Woods and even Grace than Norin.
So with that said, you said it's not really too much of a pivot week because it's more flat across the board. Does that mean – what was the question I had? Sorry. It was do you look into this week as trying to find more someone you're going to fade completely than just simply pivoting off popular guys? Is this more of just a find a guy, fade him kind of week? Is that more –
I don't know. I don't know, Anthony. What are your thoughts? I'm having trouble – like finding guys that I want to fade. I'm just trying to, for me, it's just how to make a unique roster this week is more difficult.
Yeah. It's kind of what I said earlier when I started talking in that 8K range. That's why I said, you know, in full disclosure, guys, I'm going to have a lineup and it's going to be one of my main lineups. And I am going to stuff as many of those guys in that like 8K range just to gobble up as much as I can as far as, you know, leverage, you know, in ownership, and those guys do have upside too. So I agree. It's an important week once again, because last year I made this mistake a couple times where I just fell into too many traps. I don't think we do have value this week. I mean, you know, but last year I fell into the trap of like forgetting to get a couple of those, you know, really strong value type teams. And I've made a pack in 2018 to make sure that I, you know, I get a piece of these situations. And I thought last week was one of them too. So, you know, my best lineup last week didn't have DJ, didn't have any of those guys up top. It was just a bunch of guys in the mid range. I think it's a strategy that, you know, a lot of people don't really talk about, and you can do that all year long. I mean, you're going to have good weeks and you're going to have bad weeks. And I think that you're going to be able to take advantage of, you know, ownership, you know, relative to actual upside long term. But, the only other guys that I want up top, I have a note in my notes that says don't fade Spieth. I'm going back to the well again. And I'm probably going to get a little Rory exposure just because I was a little surprised. And I don't know, Josh, if you noticed that I thought he was lower owned than I thought last week. And, yeah, he didn't play great. And I kind of like situations like this, you know, where he was blowing up on Saturday and didn't even make the cut. So I'll probably just take advantage of recency bias, even though it's not a good play, you know, quote unquote, but it is golf. And, you know, this is the type of course where he could start out hot. I mean, I think it's that opening hole is one of the most eagle holes on course. So who knows, he could get it going early. And Paul Casey, it's not like he's a cash play too, but I don't think we really touched on him. He's going to be automatically in one of my lineups, whether I start with DJ and somehow try to get him in with two cheap guys or start with Casey instead and drop down. So that's kind of how I'm approaching up top, where I'll have a couple teams with a couple different guys and just one value team.
Yeah, we kind of really skipped over the top of this. I mean, I'm not going to full fade any of you. I'm playing a lot of lineups, and I'm probably going to try to make my moves in lower salary range and get exposure to all these guys. But I do like Rory the second most after DJ.
Just because of his upside, right?
What?
Just because of his upside for ownership?
Upside ownership, just course fit. I mean, yeah, you know, his putter, I just got a new putter on Twitter, so maybe he'll get rid of those five putts. I don't know, something about Spieth. I mean, yeah, I don't have strong feelings up here at the top, to be honest. So
back to your notion of being it flat across the board and having a lot of, 7,000 range people that are a lot more playable than often, does that mean you feel because people can squeeze in DJ a lot more easier playing, you know, solid 7,000 plays that DJ's ownership is going to be, you know, maybe double what we usually see?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, now I don't know about double what we normally see. I mean, we normally see him at like, what, 30%. I don't think he's going to be 60%. But yeah, the softer price, the people can easily make DJ lineups. It's not difficult. So the softer pricing, it just makes it it makes it that much easier to pay for the number one player in the world. I mean, I do think that if you're going to play DJ, and I would, you know, I think he's going to be higher owned in the single entries in the three max. People are going to use the cash lineups or a pivot there. So if you are going to kind of separate out your sorry, I'm, it's like 100. They've turned up the heat on me and I'm dying. Sorry. I just texted my wife and I said, you got to turn the heat down. I'm like, something's happened. It's like 100. Sorry. So I think that if you want to get some leverage on the field, go to fade DJ in single entries in three max where his ownership will be higher, and then just play more of them in like the large mass multi-entry, because his ownership will be, I guess, I think a little bit lower, in the sense that people who are putting in 100 lineups like me are going to get exposure to kind of everyone. But people who are just putting in their cash lineup into the single entries are going to have DJ. Did that make any sense? I'm like,
no, yeah, that did.
Yeah.
I'm having a heat stroke here.
Sweat it out.
Don't die. Talking about PGA sweats right there. That's a different definition. But so I was looking at someone under the, you know, the DJ 20%, 30% projection. Somebody else that's kind of in the high teens, around the 20 mark, is Ches Reavie. I think about projection right now like 18-20%, just because of recent performance and the crazy low salary. So even though there's not too much to pivot off of because of the soft pricing down low, being that Ches is definitely going to be high owned, who would be a pivot off of Ches, do you think, at 8,000 for GPPs, of course?
Well, I mean, Bill Haas won here before, did he not, Josh? I feel like he has. Yeah he has.
Yes.
2012. I mean, again, I've said this before on one of her podcasts a few weeks ago. For whatever reason, again, this isn't a good thing. I do have a bias against Bill Haas. I don't know why. I just feel like he's another guy that just doesn't score enough fantasy points for me, and it has burned me in the past. I mean, it's a great pivot, though. I mean, he's low-owned. He's got great course history. He doesn't have the greatest form in the world, but, I mean, that's definitely, you know, somebody that we can talk about. But is nobody going to play Mark Leishman at $8,500? You know, I feel like that's a massive discount for Mark Leishman. And again, this isn't just us. I feel like he is kind of going under the radar. I feel like this course does set up somewhat okay for him, and he's been playing fairly well. I think he's kind of just, you know, 8,500 just seems a little bit too cheap. I thought he was too cheap a few weeks ago at like 9,200, and he kind of came down again. Like, he's kind of a cash play. I mean, again, this whole range, I mean, the X-Man, the guy's only going to be owned by, what, 5% maybe? And he can bomb the ball. I mean, he can, again, Xander Schauffele at 8,300, I think, is a great pivot play in this range. Going to be low-owned, and he's got high upside. And I feel like every weekend, like, when I see, like, the Saturday or Sunday, you know, scores come around, I'm like, man, X just – he always kind of surprises me. Do you guys get that feeling? I mean – He's on the leaderboard more often than we think. And he continues to kind of get no love, right? So that's kind of where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
I think it's a great pivot in that range.
Yeah, I mean, touching on what we said before, I mean, I know you're not saying Bubba and Cash, but yeah, I mean, you know, Bubba would be a fine pivot for me. Chapel, another, you know, some other pivots that I'm interested in off of. I mean, I don't know, this whole little range with Schneider Jams and Bradley and Cantlay, it interests me a lot. I don't know what your thoughts are on those guys.
So we kind of started going into the lower tier earlier, and just for sake of keeping the podcast in good flow, I wanted to circle back to this and make a point that for me, Ollie Schneider Jams, I believe at the by the time lineup lock comes around, I'm guessing he's going to be very chalky. In my model, he comes in ranked number one, and that's, I guess, a little shout out to Scott there. But I mean, it is what it is. I mean, he ranks in the last 15 rounds for me, number 5 in tee to green, number 4 in approach shots, number 2 in DraftKings points and birdies, and he's number three from par fours from 450 to 500. And remember, I opened with that when I kind of talked about what I had in my notes from the last couple years. And he's also number one in the last 15 rounds in proximity from 150 to 175. So he definitely kind of, you know, checks a lot of the boxes that I'm looking at this week. And I think he's going to be chalky. And that's why, for me, even getting down to Han, if I really want Ali and a couple of these other guys, I don't know if I'm going to have enough cash to kind of keep it with, you know, anchored with a Charles Howell, so to speak. That's kind of why I was thinking I might go the Han route. Still is a little early, but Ali for me is a cash game play this week.
So pretty much, like Josh said, it's kind of what most you can do with the pivots being with the soft pricing and everything. Now, I just want to bring attention to the fact that last week's pod, I mentioned Aaron Baddeley, and he did make the cut. Did you know that he actually won here in 2011? I don't know if Anthony, I know Josh knew that. I don't know if Anthony had that. He's actually, he won at this event in 2011. So I'm not looking at him this week at all, but usually whenever I talk about someone, the next week they do amazing. It was John Hugh earlier this year, got second place the week after I talked about him. But since we haven't really touched on anything, ooh.
I'm stepping in and, you know, making sure everyone get pronunciation.
Well, I got another incorrection here for you. Cameron Tringale.
Oh God.
How the heck do you say that name?
Tringale.
Is it really Tringale? You got that.
Else I really like in this range is Keegan Bradley at 7,600.
I love him. He's off the blacklist for a week.
For a week.
Do you think he's gonna be popular? I honestly can't figure that one out.
How can he be popular given the guys right next to him? Let me look at what his ownership has been recently. So far this year, he's been 6%, 12%, 16%. I have to think that, let me look at Ollie's here. Oh, Ollie's has actually come down. You know what? Maybe he'll be more popular than Ollie. Is that possible? I mean, Ollie was only 4% owned last time we saw him. I think that Cantlay is going to have all the ownership.
For the record, I think Ollie's a better player than Cantlay this week.
You know what? I agree with you.
I mean, Cantlay's a good play. Don't get me, I'm not saying he's a bad play. I'm just, because I'm kind of a little bit torn this week as a couple of those guys right there. And I know Cantlay, if Scott was on, he would say Cantlay. But then again, he would say Ollie. He loves Ollie.
He loves Ollie too.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of hype behind Mr. Patrick. I just, for me, Ollie, I mean, he ranks number one in my model. It's kind of hard to argue with my model. And Cantlay's, you know, he's like 25th or something right now, but.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have a pretty tight core of what I like this week, and I, you know, I'm going to have a lot of all those guys.
What are Josh, I'm curious your thoughts on this, too. Adam Scott, I mean, let's be real here. $7,400, this is a joke. I mean, you're not going to play him in cash. I know you're not. Well, at least I don't think you are. Are you?
No.
I mean, but let's, I mean, the pricing here, that's pretty insane. I mean, you know he's going to be on one of your main GPPs, right?
No, not main GPPs.
Oh, come on. Really?
He sucks. But I'm going to have a lot of them. I mean, I'm going to have overweight to the field, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude.
$7,400, I mean, 11th, 2nd, 10th, 17th, 14th, 5 out of his last 6 appearances here, and he's struggling, like, big time right now, but I think he's going to end up being pretty popular in cash games. I'm almost scared to fade him. I mean, we'll see what happens by the end of the week. But
Adam Scott?
I don't. People are dumb, man. I mean, I'm saying, like, this is one of those weeks where we could get screwed by the people who do play him. He is not the right play in cash games. He's definitely a pivot for GPPs, but I think you're going to be a little surprised by the ownership.
Yeah, definitely if you think he's – I think what you said, what, 4%, 5% – I'm pretty positive he's going to be over 5. Heavily positive.
Scott more than that.
Yeah. But I was trying to find the took me forever to find the winner picks from last week. I don't know if you're watching this on YouTube. I was just like throwing paper around trying to find it. But yeah, for pivots, do we have anything else pivot wise? Was that pretty much it for this week with the pricing and everything? You guys have anything else pivot wise?
I mean, there's just so many places really you can go. I think in the 7K range, it's just. I mean, real quick, I'll just name a couple guys, Josh, if you wanted to and agree or disagree. I like JJ Spawn a lot. I mean, he still ranks eighth in my model. I think like nobody's going to play him this week. I don't know. I mean, $7,300 or 3% ownership, all the other talk around it. I'm not going to touch Molinari. I looked into some extra data in this course, and it really doesn't necessarily favor just the accuracy guys. And I feel like even if he makes the cut, I feel like he's just going to get lapped in points. I kind of want to stay away from that. I really like Johnny Vegas. Like, what happened? Why did everyone stop playing him? Like, what did he do wrong? I'm kind of all over Johnny Vegas still. You just wrote about him in your cash article not too long ago, and I like him a lot. Somebody else I like, I played Jimmy Walker last week. I'm probably going back to that well. I know he's got Lyme disease, but, I mean, he's got good history here, and he played really well last week.
Yeah, I mean, someone who also I'm going to have some of is Hao Tong Li. I mean, these are just small shares I'm talking about. I agree with you. Vegas is in my player pool. I have about 45 guys right now in my player pool. Vegas is in it. Hao Tong Li. I'm not playing Jimmy Walker. Maybe I'll have to reconsider it, but just probably because I wanted to play Hao Tong Li and Vegas more. I am going to have Molinari. I'm not playing any Spawn. Sam Saunders is the guy I'm going to have a little bit of.
You love Sam Saunders.
I don't know. I don't really
you
like
You wrote him. About him a couple times. I see that. I like that.
Maybe I should stop. I'll quit him then. So, let's see here. Someone we haven't talked about is what are you doing with Cockrack?
Yeah, he's cash game playable, but just because, kind of like what you said earlier, there's so many good plays in this range, he doesn't become for me this week. I mean, he's there. You know, I'm not saying it's a terrible play, but for me, there's better plays. Any other week, he's probably like one of those, you know, cheap guys that you're stuffing your roster in. So I'll probably get some exposure to him in GPPs, but not for cash.
Okay.
All right. So like we said earlier, because Scott is AFK or MIA due to the new baby, we're just going to surpass the betting. We'll throw some things here at the very end, maybe a few first round leaders, overall winners. But moving on to the winner chicken dinner here for last week, I just pulled up the numbers. Josh had the best pick, even though he was not first. He had Snedeker, who finished 20th. Anthony and Scott tied with 35th place. Anthony had Hadley. Scott had Cantley. And I had Matty Cooch, who disappointed me greatly. But Scott has... I just texted him to try to get one of his picks in here, but I guess it's not going to come in time. So sticking with the same format we've been doing, under 9,000. I guess, let's see, who do we start with the last time? I think started Anthony. So Josh, you're up first. Who do you have 9,000 and under to win it all?
All right. Well, I think I've already. I don't think this is one and done where you can't use the same guy. But I know I've already used Ollie. But I'm gonna go with Noren.
All right.
I think that he was like the second available person in terms of price after Tiger, but given the fact that he's not going to be that popular, I don't think I took the safe route by just picking the one of the most expensive guys. So,
and then I guess I'll go. Well, yes, Scott's not here. I'm sticking up with the counter, not the counterclockwise, but the clockwise rotation. I will go. Let's see. I think I had. Even though I know Anthony mentioned him, and I'm not planning to play him too much, if at all, because I'm just going, I think I'm going to do a single entry for this week, going back to my roots. Mark Leishman. I think I'm going to go Leishman here. Did I just take your pick, Anthony?
No, I mean, I think it's a good pick. I mean, he's kind of going under the radar, in my opinion, like I said earlier. I'll stick to, I like Bubba. I'm going to stick to Bubba, 7,800. I think he can pop here.
I like it.
So do you want to do a consensus pick for Scott? Who do you think Scott would pick with those three already off the board?
To win?
Yeah. Let's just throw someone in there for him.
I mean, obviously he would love Ollie if he was allowed to pick him.
Yeah.
I want to say Ollie. I think Ollie's got a shot this week. I just feel like we pick him every week, so I wanted to say someone different.
Yeah. Have you I bet Bubba to win the Masters. I told you that.
Yeah.
I got him at 60-1. He's down to 51. If he comes in like top five this week, it's gonna drop a lot.
Yep.
So yeah, I wrote Ollie down for Scott there. So yeah, just a few things. I mean, I'm not the PGA betting connoisseur as much, nor near as much as Scott is, but for how much talk he's been getting, I mentioned this before we started the pod, I'm surprised by Tommy Fleetwood's odds. I don't know if it's just I'm hearing a lot of playing because he's going to do well this weekend or if he actually has a shot. But right now, $10 turns into $230, and for someone I'm hearing pretty much in everything I'm seeing online, all the podcasts, everything, that's pretty decent odds to, you know, throw a $5, $10 bet on. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, if you have your own overall winners for if you looked at odds or not yet. Well, I mean, I know Josh already mentioned that, but besides that.
I have not yet, no.
I've just been trying to find some. I was doing some parlays into for DJ with other sports, but no, I have some bets in. I like I have a Bubba bet and an Ollie bet, and yeah, I'm just taking some shots. I don't know. I don't really have any strong. I haven't made a lot of bets yet for this week.
All right. So I believe I started this last week. I'm not sure if I did or not, but if you are watching this, whether it's on iTunes or listening to iTunes, watching on YouTube, if you want to play along with our winner, winner, chicken dinner. So we already have those four players off the board, Leishman, Bubba, Noren, and Ollie. If you just want to comment on this video that is on YouTube on our GFS Karma channel and go in and pick who you think can win the under 9,000 range, of course. And, you know, we might, if you do it for some, if it works out, if you put, you know, Harry Potter, as Anthony calls him last week, we might put something special together for you. If you, the crazier the pick, the more special something might be. But that is pretty much the gist here. That is the conclusion of our Good Karma PGA podcast. If you are winning content with what our analysts are putting together, whether it's something that Josh said, something Anthony said, please screenshot them, the winnings. In other words, take a screenshot, throw it up on Twitter, and then throw their Twitter handle on there as well, just so they can see it. So Anthony, of course, is at DFS Karma AC. Josh is at Circling the Drain without any vowels included. I always like to spell it just for the people listening. CRCLNGTHDRN. But is there any last final words you want to squeeze in here, guys? Or is that good for the Genesis Open for this week?
I think we're good. Good luck, guys.
All right, good luck.
All right, and then, of course, the last thing I was going to add there is we do have the live stream on Wednesday. That's where Josh and I sit down and just answer constant, or Josh in anyway. I'm just there to orchestrate. Mainly it's Josh answering the questions. A live stream, you can see it on Periscope, you can see it on Twitch, you can see it on our YouTube. It's going to be at 8 p.m., so join, start sending your questions in, and we're going to get to as many as we can for a 30-minute period, and that is tomorrow Eastern Time at 8 p.m. We'll see you guys then, but good luck, and hopefully you guys come out on top here at the Genesis Open. Thanks for checking us out with DFS Karma.